Good afternoon. I'm Florence Schwein, your host for today's El Paso Primetime. And my guest is El Paso fitness and nutrition professional, Patrick Hopkins. When I last talked with Patrick on this show, it was all about fitness. But this time, it's a unique show about nutrition. Patrick holds a BS in nutritional science from California Polytech State University. And I am privileged to have him as my grocery shopping partner. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
I know as a personal trainer, you emphasize that the right exercises work hand in hand with the foods we eat. So that's what we're going to try to look at today.
Absolutely.
So in going to the grocery store, what are some of the general shopping concerns that we want to combat or even look at the shopping experience itself, and then we'll be off?
Well, I think there's a few. In terms of the general concern, most people have a tendency to stay in the inner aisles of a grocery store, and you're going to find your healthier foods typically on the perimeters of your grocery store, i.e. your produce is always on an edge, your healthy meats and all that kind of stuff is always on an edge, typically the back edge.
And so you can save time. You don't even have to go
in
the center.
exactly. The other big thing that a lot of people are not aware of, and it's been an issue for the last, decade and a half or so, is food labeling and food manufacturing. And the bottom line is food manufacturers are simply not our friend. Their bottom line is to sell. And unfortunately, as a result, there's a lot of trickery that goes into food labeling and helping the consumer purchase foods that they would like them to purchase instead of those foods that are probably a little bit more healthful than what is already stated on the packaging.
So this sounds like we need to be talking about consumer be aware.
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. And it's easy to lose it because, you know, a lot of us see something on a label and it says X and we take it for granted that it's X. And yet there's a lot of trickery involved in that. So, yeah, we'll go over that a little bit. The other thing is, you know, in someone's attempt to change their food preferences and their style of shopping, realize, too, that there can be an additional expense in eating healthy. And if you are in an unfortunate area where you don't have a choice and your health is diminishing and you have to change the way you have to eat, then realize that that expense is going to be there. It's typically we spend more money on eating healthy than we do on fast foods and quick fix foods and snacking foods.
Now, that really surprises me because I think I'm a pretty good shopper. Mm-hmm. And my shopping bills haven't gone up. So.
Well, I've seen your meal planning, and you're right. You are a great shopper, but you're also a bargain shopper, and you buy in bulk when sales are good.
I do.
You are atypical in that you spend a lot of time in food prep, and you don't mind spending an hour in the kitchen in a day or 20, 30 minutes food prepping a meal. Most people, however, aren't that way, and they will reach for their quicker foods to get it done. It's been a long day. Get home, get everybody fed, and get off to bed and start the next day. So you're very atypical with respect to what I've seen in your meal planning and your purchasing of your groceries. So,
well, that's a compliment. But, you know, I like to be able to sometimes get a meal on the table in 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and for company, an hour. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
And it's easy to do if there's a little attentiveness to your shopping and planning out your evening in terms of spending time in the kitchen.
Yeah, my buddy is really the freezer.
Yeah.
I use that a lot.
A couple things that I do want to bring up as we go through this experience of shopping is that there are quite a few things that I'm seeing a lot of my clients in general society not being super attentive to in their shopping experience, and that is shopping in the absence of fiber-based foods being in mind. Another is the fact that we do have a tendency in this fast-paced society to reach towards our snacking foods and our ready-made meals that are already prepared. The unfortunate about that is we don't know what's going into those meals. And so we're sacrificing possibly nutrition for quick, done. It's ready to eat right now, and everybody's off to bed type of thing, which lends to the idea that there is a migration away from food prep. We aren't spending as much time in the kitchen anymore, and we are working towards buying more foods out, fast food, and again, those ready meals. And it's easy to get into it. You know, you just have to baby mm-hmm. steps your way into working towards food prep. There's a high abundance of high sugar, refined-based products that are oftentimes stripped of the nutrients, but we're buying them anyway. They're cheaper, and they taste better, but the nutrition in them is far less than what we would like to have. There's an overall lack of quality-based proteins in our general meal planning. We are a society of carbohydrate-based foods. We eat carbs. It tastes good, and again, it's cheap. So we need to start getting into more protein-rich foods, quality protein-rich foods. And then, again, like I'd already mentioned, the awareness of this food labeling trickery that we are very much prey to but oftentimes aren't aware of it.
So we're going to look at labels today mm-hmm. in sure. the store. And there's something else that you've mentioned to me, and that's the idea of having 5 or 6 meals a day. Okay. We're talking time.
Yes.
And we're talking maybe more calories, and we're talking about readjusting. Now, I can't quite imagine 5 or 6 meals a day. Maybe 4. But, so help me here. We'll try to get through this.
Okay.
And see where we're going. Okay, so right inside the front door is the deli. So here we go. Roasted chicken?
Yes, yeah. It's an incredible, very fast meal that's already cooked. It's typically very warm. It's in the hot box. And for those that are concerned more about the chicken breast, just peel the skin off and pull the breast out. The kids typically can have no problems eating the drumsticks and the thighs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Add a good quality of vegetable and a quality of carbohydrate to it, and you've got a great meal prepped and ready to go and eat.
And that's one of my secrets.
Yeah.
And since there's only 2 in my household, my husband and I, now I take that chicken and we have the chicken breast mm-hmm. with the skin off.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it becomes soup.
Sure.
And some of it becomes sandwiches.
Yeah.
So there's no waste there.
No,
And
no
if
waste.
I think that we're not going to use it right away, I plop the rest of it in the freezer.
Yeah, and even if the household won't eat it, I can't tell you how many times I've taken the balance of the chicken that I've stripped all the breast off and taken it to the neighbors, and they eat it. You know?
And they very much appreciate it,
and again, I'm not wasting any food. Someone's putting it to good use.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of is maybe a little bit too much salt in some of that.
Sometimes, yeah, you're right. It can happen, but in a pinch, it's a great meal.
Oh yeah,
it's a great meal.
I get a lot of mileage out of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and honestly, most of those Walmart has the big family size mm-hmm. ones, and you're going to get a good quality pound plus maybe 3 or 4 ounces out of it. The smaller ones, you typically get 9 to 12, maybe 13 ounces out of them.
And it's
a great, you know, when you think about you're going to spend, they typically are $5 to $6.
Mm-hmm.
And for the time constraints that you're under, it's a great sacrifice.
Well, 3 or 4 meals for 2 people, that's cheap.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So that blows the expense away.
Yeah, you're right.
Away. But not so much the ribs here, right?
Well, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of fat in the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Some places do a chicken or a turkey breast, so that's a good
uh-huh.
choice
mm-hmm.
As well. The skin is on it at times, but you just peel the skin off and you're good to go. The ribs aren't a favorite choice. Every now and again, sure, everything in moderation, but it wouldn't be a daily staple.
Okay,
in my opinion.
We'll put the chicken in the basket
okay, great.
Today.
All right.
How about over here on the side with all these goodies that are already made up, and I'm on my way home from work, and I want to get – no, I'm going to have chicken tonight.
The stuff that's in the glass container that mm-hmm. you have to ask someone to put it in the container for you. Yeah, well, some of them are okay. I would say most are not. You know, mm-hmm. you got to think of most of your potato salad and your macaroni salad are made with copious amounts of mayonnaise, and they're concerned for – being nutritiously sound is not a concern because
they want to sell it.
They want to sell it, and flavor sells. So, most of those things are not great choices.
But as opposed to picking up some lunch meat just around the corner here, should I get some that's sliced here?
Good question. I would say that because the stuff in the counter has a shelf life, and it's typically a lot less than the stuff that's packaged in the refrigerated area, you're better off probably having the person slice some deli meat up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's good to realize what's actually pressed meat.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And what's actually real meat. Yeah. And you can ask them and they will tell you what's pressed and what's not, what's real.
Yeah. What's a ham loaf as opposed to a little ham that's sliced, which you get back at the meat counter.
Yeah. When you don't see any veins or you don't see any fibering in the meat itself, it's probably pressed. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see it in price too. That's typically $1 to $2 to $3 cheaper than the stuff that's the real stuff.
So, but if I were going to get ham, for example, I'd go back to the meat counter and get that, and they'll slice it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably will pay a little bit more, but you're probably losing some of the preservatives that go into the stuff that sits in the refrigerated area that's packaged and that can stand there for 3 or 4 months at a time.
So, we're talking about these kind of already packaged things. Shall we look at the cheese over here?
Sure, yeah. I think the only thing that I'd like to comment on the cheese is most people choose not to go with the lower fat cheeses, and 2% cheese, though it doesn't have the creamy effect that a full fat cheese does.
But the ham and cheese sandwich doesn't care.
Yeah, you're right. And it does take a little getting used to, but you never know until you try, I guess is what I'm getting around to. And if it means that you're going to save some fat, maybe give it a try.
It's an easy save.
It's an easy save. And again, you're going to spend a little bit more money in those lower fat products, but is it worth your health in the end?
Yeah.
For some people,
how about the breakfast meats, the bacons and the sausages and the turkey sausage?
The only time that I ever really promote that kind of stuff is the turkey bacon. It obviously doesn't taste like real bacon. A little bit harder than normal bacon.
Right.
Doesn't have the fat flavor that bacon does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit higher in protein, and it's a nice alternative to bacon.
And how about the soy products?
Soy's got a bad rap in the last 3 to 5 years, you know, with estrogen issues and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I bought into it 100%.
The veggie burgers?
Veggie burgers... You're probably gonna see that you're not gonna have meat based products in there, but you're gonna see quite a bit of fat in those veggie based products.
Ah, so better look at that.
Yeah.
Especially I think there's a veggie sausage. I'm thinking breakfast here.
Because they're made with a bunch of fillers, they have to add some flavor in there, and typically the flavor comes from fat.
So need to look at that.
Sure.
And this is a good example of understanding what the food industry has done for us or to us.
Yeah, especially when you see that exactly. They have done a very good job of letting us know that products are fat-free, and in fact, you can read the label and the ingredients, and you'll see that there is, in fact, fat in there. It's just that they've dropped the serving size down considerably.
That will pass the label.
Here's the quick and easy on it. A product can say it's fat-free if it has 0.5 grams or less fat per serving.
Mm-hmm.
So all they've done is they've increased the serving sizes. So now
there's multiple
servings, and now it all fits. So they can say fat-free. But the layman person who reads a label may not go dig deeper and see that there is, in fact, vegetable oil in the ingredients list, you know, so there was obviously fat.
So I have something to really look at.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, I'm Florence Schwein, and I'm grocery shopping with nutritionist Patrick Hopkins with the objectives of filling my cart with good food values and helping me to understand this whole idea of having more meals per day, the 5 to 6 per day. So we're going to look at that a little bit more. Please remember This adventure is a challenge for educational purposes only and not an endorsement of any particular product nor grocery store. Now, having said that, let's get back to our cart here. I think we can go over here to the veggies and the fresh
produce.
And the, yeah, produce.
Sure. Produce is great. Fresh produce is always great.
I love those cantaloupes over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're good.
There's been a big kick into organic in the last 3 to 5 years. And
yeah, what's that all about?
I think it's the concern for pesticides and chemicals that are being sprayed on our produce to alleviate pests and whatnot.
And like wax on apples and things like that?
Wax on apples just, when you think of wax, I don't know that it has a whole lot of harm to it, but it sure makes the apple look a lot nicer.
It looks
when
pretty.
It's on the shelf, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, so, Patrick, how do you wash these, you know, wonderful foods and make sure that you're not getting those pesticides?
Well, they're sprayed already when they come off the fields, but it doesn't hurt to run them under cold water once you get them home. Just make sure there's no dirt and whatnot. And
before you refrigerate.
I think, yeah. I mean, to what end do you go to make sure that there's no lingering pesticides on your produce? You know,
I don't know. But I do know people that are very, very concerned
about
that.
Sure, absolutely. And those are the people that typically probably go more towards your organics.
But it's a higher price tag there and may not really be needed.
Absolutely. And since we're on that, let's talk quickly about, you know, your frozen vegetables.
There's a
misconception that, you know, your produce has to be fresh. But in our frozen vegetables, our fresh freezing technology is so advanced now that the minute it comes off the truck and it's in the warehouse, it's frozen in seconds, in 30 to 45 seconds. So the shelf life of it is much longer. The nutritive value is maintained. And typically you're going to spend a lot less in your frozen foods, in your frozen vegetables, than you would if they were fresh. Now,
and frozen fruits, too, especially for a small household like the two of us, you know, a whole pineapple is too much. So I buy frozen pineapple.
Yeah.
I buy frozen blueberries because it's easy to put a little handful on our cereal in the morning instead
now,
of...
That's a great point, and that's there's a huge differentiation in some of your fruits. Freezing them, you have a serious breakdown in the integrity of the fruit itself. For example, a blueberry can freeze and freeze quite well and thaw nicely. A strawberry, on the other hand, is the cell is made of water. So when that cell freezes, it expands and it collapses that cell wall. So then when it thaws, you have weeping of that product.
They're mushy,
yeah. And that's how all your strawberries are going to be. So there's a huge difference in a fresh strawberry and a thawed frozen strawberry.
But you know something? I've noticed that blackberries really freeze quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be different
than the strawberries. Some are different. Some are different.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting take. And I really do consider the freezer maybe my best friend because it keeps me from having to be in the kitchen a lot. And it gives us much more variety.
Sure. You're not subject to the seasonal produce that's typically out. You typically get a much more wide range of variety to choose from. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Except those cantaloupe over there.
Yes. You're right.
Has to be. Pecos cantaloupes are really good in this area, so I really do like that. Well, how about those veggies? We haven't talked too much about that. How about the lettuces and how about things in those packages that already come washed?
Yeah, there's a heavy price on them, that's for sure. The ready, what do they call the ready packs?
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that.
Yeah, spinach and
I
even got kale.
Oh, yeah,
recently.
In the ready pack?
Mm-hmm.
It's quick. It's easy. That's for sure. It's already rinsed very nicely. Some of them are have a nice price to them.
Mm-hmm.
The spinach isn't all that bad, actually, when you buy the big bag. You just need to make sure you use it, and it'll go bad if you don't use it.
Oh, well, then when it starts, you know, when you think you've had it at day that you should be thinking about it, then I cook it and put it in the freezer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, but spinach goes in omelets. Spinach goes as a vegetable. Spinach goes in lots of things.
Again, this is another salad. Way that the food manufacturers have played into our nonstop, fast-paced society. You know, grab something and it's ready and good to go. They even put the dressings in there now for you.
Oh,
you know, so
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it's another way. And for those that aren't so much concerned about paying a little bit more for it, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, and in that case, I use every bit of it because I can use it or freeze it or whatever.
Right.
And so I don't think that it's expensive because I use it all. But
right.
How about some of these other things in the veggie line here? Some of the squashes and
I think most of everything that you're going to find in your produce area is great. I mean, it's good quality. We're looking for, you know, our vegetables, our fruits and vegetables, we're looking for high fiber.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's right where it is.
Well, not only that, but vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot to be said for our fiber in our vegetables and our fruits. And that's one of the best sources to get it from.
Okay. Bread. Here we come.
Okay.
And this store has some wonderful baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
In the bakery. But what should we look for in bread? I mean, there's a difference, of course. Nobody eats white bread anymore except the store is loaded with them. So somebody must buy them.
You'd be surprised.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody must buy it. What's the difference in the wheat that goes into white bread and dark bread?
Well, the difference is you've removed large amount of the wheat-based product, and you really just are left with the germ. And the germ is what's creating the white flour to make the white bread.
And
then you grind the whole thing up, including the hull and the surrounding germ area. That's what you get for your wheat.
And you're getting more nutrients.
Absolutely.
For your money.
More money, yes.
And so that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think if there's one thing I'd like to add that you would want to be a little aware of is, you know, we have a lot of the low-calorie slices now. One product out there is claiming 45-calorie sliced bread.
Yeah, do they really have sawdust in them?
I think what people aren't realizing is, sure, it may be 45 calories, but the weight of that bread, of that one slice, probably also weighs half of the 90-calorie slice.
So what's it filled with?
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah, I mean, they raise it more. There's more attentiveness in the baking process.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's more yeast in it. I'm not sure. But there's less volume of bread, therefore less calories, so it all makes sense. But yet it's selling like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can take your 90-calorie slice and cut it in half.
My goodness. Well, we better speed through this store for a little bit. Let's go.
We might have
to
do a two-parter on this one.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to check with our producer. But well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we continue with this, and then if we can do a second one, we'll
okay.
do it. But
sounds
let's
great.
Skip over to, what do you think, the meats next?
Yeah, let's go to meats. I have some interesting stats on the meats. You know, I think the issue with meats is most people have a tendency to choose the less lean cuts of beef, the less lean cuts of poultry. Let's take, for example, your beef.
Sirloins, right?
Yeah, your sirloins, your flank steaks, things like that are going to be much leaner, probably not have quite the flavor as your ribeyes and your New Yorks. You're going to spend less probably than the ribeyes and New Yorks, but the flavor isn't there, and we're a flavor-based society.
It doesn't make any difference when you get a sirloin beef roast and you slow cook it.
You're absolutely
right.
I
mean, it's
but what did you just say that people aren't doing? They're not food prepping. So that means nothing to them.
But it takes 10 minutes
you think
to put it in the crock pot.
Right.
Get yourself out the door to work and you get home and it's done.
I would imagine there are a lot of families that have crock pots that never wants to break them out.
Oh, mine likes to be used. At least once a week. Well, more than once a week. It gets used for soup all the time.
The thing on the meat, let's take, for example, some ground beef. I have a 96.4 ground beef that's 29% fat. The 90.10 is 51% fat. And the 85.15 is 63% fat.
Wow.
So are you going to pay more for the 96.4? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll just have a smaller piece.
Is it leaner?
It's
going
anyway,
to right? have more protein by volume, by weight, than it would the 85.15, and also much less fat. But you're going to pay a little bit more for it. So if you always do 80.20, maybe try 90.10 next time.
Mm-hmm.
Baby steps your way up into something towards a leaner choice.
Yeah, and those leaner choices, actually, you don't need 16 ounces
no,
of meat.
No, absolutely not.
Day.
Exactly, right?
It's so much for the steakhouses.
Right,
right. Right. Okay, pork. The other white meat, right?
Yeah, that was a big slogan campaign for them, 10 years ago? The other white meat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it. I think pork has got its place. I'm not a big pork eater, not necessarily for the nutritional value of it, but I do think that there's nothing wrong with a pork roast at times.
That little loin that you can get that cooks in an hour.
Yeah, that looks like your regular beef loin.
See, I don't spend so much time in the
kitchen. Yeah, those are great.
I mean,
there's
then,
nothing wrong with those.
And you have it for one meal, slice it for sandwiches, and mix it, it with a little something mayonnaise. But I use Smart Balance.
That's nothing wrong with Smart Balance. Yeah,
okay,
that's
mayonnaise.
Point.
Mix it with that.
Here's the bottom line. If you always go out to eat and you are a fast food shopper for dinner and you want to migrate into something different and you choose a pork roast or a pork loin instead, wow, more power to you. I think it's great.
Well, you know what? I think that we've filled this half an hour. Patrick, we're going to have to continue our shopping.
I think so.
And see if our producer will air another half an hour sometime. So let me just say this has been fun, and you are amazing. You keep reminding me, though, that we want to get to those mini meals, so we'll have to work on that in our next segment. And, of course, we don't want a lot of additional work. We don't want a lot of additional expense. And certainly not more calories.
Mm.
Now I understand a little bit more about grocery shopping. Thank you, Patrick Hopkins, for this shopping lesson. To learn more about Patrick Hopkins' work as a fitness and nutritional professional, visit, what's your website?
www.builtbypatrick.com.
Good for you. Or call him at
area code 830-431-1242.
Wellness is a goal of the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, and we hope it tops your personal list too. Thanks to Dennis Wu, our producer of El Paso Primetime. I'm Florence Schwein. I'll be right back.